Genesis chapter 13 today. We pick up our study in verse number 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Let's stop there for a second. Abram travels to the southern part of the Promised Land, which was a very nice area. And Abram's nephew, Lot, will not forget how pleasant this area is. He really falls in love with it. Verse 2, and Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Leaving the Promised Land had been a sin. Going down to Egypt had been a disaster. It was a tough lesson on the importance of obedience to God. Consequently, Abram wants to get back on track with the Lord. And so he returns to the land that he never should have left in the first place. He returns to obedience. He returns to the will of God. Abram wants to get right with God. And because he does, he will. Always remember this. No disobedience is so horrible that you can't get right with God again. God is willing, if we are willing. Verse 3. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which had been made there, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. The Bible says that Abram called on the name of the Lord, and that does not mean that he said, Lord, I want to talk to you this one time. I think I will call on your name here this time, and I want to talk to you. No, it doesn't mean that. It means much more than that. It means that he lived for the Lord. It means he prayed to God and he worshiped God as a matter of practice. And of course, his walk with the Lord had always been solid, with some exceptions, as is the case with all of us. But at this point, it becomes stronger than ever. He just got past some very serious errors and sins that he committed. But he gets back on track with God. And the lesson for us is this: don't let past failures and sins keep you from being close to God today. Learn from your mistakes and be more determined than ever to live for God from this point on. Verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. You know, verse 5 should not even contain a reference to Abram's nephew, Lot. And that's because he shouldn't be there. Abram sinned by allowing Lot to travel with him to the Promised Land. Because you may recall that God told Abram to leave his family. But he didn't do that. He allowed his nephew Lot to go with him. And now there will be trouble as a result of that disobedience. Now there will be trouble that could have been avoided if Abram had only done things God's way. Abram's disobedience will not destroy God's plan, but Abram will experience trouble that could have been avoided. And I think it's also important to see that the effect of Abram's disobedience was not immediate. God didn't strike him with a terrible sickness because he took Lot along. It wasn't immediate, but it was about to catch up with him. Some of the consequences of our sin are immediate, and others are not. However, down the road, there will be problems that can be traced back to our disobedience to God. Now, that doesn't mean that God wants us to dwell on our sins for the rest of our life. That won't do any good. Confess them, repent of them, and forget them, because God does. Just accept the fact that you did wrong and learn from it. And thank God for his forgiveness. Thank him for his mercy, and thank him for a fresh start and move on. That's God's will. It's never God's will for a Christian who has sinned to confess that sin and then wallow in it. 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. Let's stop there for a second. There was a strife between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram. Both were very wealthy, and their wealth led to trouble. It doesn't have to, but it often does. Wealth is not really an issue, okay? Because wealth is not a problem for people who love Jesus and consequently have their priorities straight. But when maintaining and increasing riches becomes priority number one, it drives God right out of the picture. Where is God in this situation with Abram's and Lot's men? Where's God? God is nowhere to be found. They have shoved him out of the picture because of their overwhelming love for wealth. Last part of verse 7. It says, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And what a terrible testimony Abram and Lot's men were to these hell-bound Canaanites. The Canaanites needed to repent and follow the one true God. Their immortal souls depend on it. But the sinful materialistic behavior of the men of Abram and Lot will, if anything, repel the Canaanites away from God. Who in the world feels the need for God Almighty when his followers act like a bunch of sinful fools? And the same question could be asked today. Why would any lost sinner today feel the need to repent and become a follower of Christ when they see Christians acting just as sinful as anyone else? Christians must be different. They must be holy. If a Christian doesn't care about holiness, then they should drop the title Christian from their lives, because they're not doing Jesus any good and they're not doing anyone else any good either. Verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray you, between me and you, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Oh, what a breath of fresh air Abram was in the midst of these bickering believers. When Abram learned what was going on, he put a stop to it in a hurry. And when we recognize things in our life that dishonor God, we should put a stop to them immediately. And someone says, yeah, but what happens if I don't really care? Well, then I'd say, you better repent and get saved. Because a real child of God will care. A real child of God will want to change anything about them that reflects badly on the Lord and on the Creator God and on the Savior that they say they serve. Verse 9. Abram says, "Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. If you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." So God gave that land to Abram, not Lot. Abram could have said, you know, Abraham could have said, think about this. He could have said, "Lot, you will go where I tell you, and you will be satisfied. Because if you do not, then I'm going to talk to God about you." Abram could have said that, but he didn't. He wasn't that type of a guy. Instead, he said, "Lot, I'm giving you the first choice." And by giving Lot the first choice, he was also giving him an opportunity to be gracious. Abram was gracious. Now Lot has that opportunity as well. 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Lot made his choice based on what looked best. Of course, the decent thing would have been to give his uncle Abram the best, or at the very least, give Abram first choice. But Lot was not a very decent man sometimes, as we will see. Lot's love for the things of this world made him selfish, and it will also get him into trouble in the future. And that's the way it always is. If one does not restrain their desire for the things of this world, they can be easily manipulated into doing wrong in order to obtain those things. Verse 12. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Lot did not move into the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah immediately. He simply pitched his tent toward Sodom. But it won't be long before he is actually living in Sodom. People become desensitized to ungodliness a little bit at a time. And that's why it's so dangerous to tolerate any measure of temptation or sin. You tolerate a little bit today, you'll tolerate a little bit tomorrow, a little bit more tomorrow, and a little bit more the next day, and on it goes, until all of a sudden you're living in it. 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. God says the men of Sodom were sinners exceedingly, which means that Sodom was filled with big-time sinners. But Lot was only a small-time believer. Sodom's temptations were too powerful for Lot to handle. His love for material things has now put him in a place that will tempt him to sin and cause him to sin. To have victory over sin, we must get a handle on our desires. You know, if we hunger for Jesus, if we taste and see that the Lord is good, as Scripture says, then our desire for holiness and a close walk with God will be stronger than our desire for sin. That, in turn, will keep us from putting ourselves in places of spiritual danger. So we should learn from Lot's mistakes. Pick it up right here next time.